Greetings, everybody. Welcome back home, for those who are home. And, welcome to all of you who are here in front of me, and as well for all of those who are listening in on the internet. Hopefully you're all doing good. The title of my sermonette today is It Takes Practice. Now, every one of us, with the exception of perhaps the littlest of the little ones in the crowd, have been students at some point or time in their lives. Being a student always involves learning, and most often involves some kind of testing. Testing can be quite a troubling event in people's lives. Many people suffer anxiety when they have to take a test. There's a lot of pressure in many cases about being tested, both externally, there is pressure to perform well on tests, and internally ourselves, we may put pressure on ourselves to perform well. And this can apply to whatever kinds of tests we take, whether big or small. Have you ever wondered what you can do to do better on the tests that you might take? Well, the answer is studying. That is certainly the answer. But what kind of studying works the best? What technique can you use to perform better on the tests that you take? Now, there was a bit of research done on this in Purdue, at Purdue University. But of course, this was research performed for a very specific kind of test, the typical kind of test where a question is asked and an answer is expected. Those type of tests where we have to answer questions can be performed better, according to this research, by a certain type of studying. Now, two different techniques were experimented with to find out the answer to this question. One technique involved elaboration. Basically, what that means is that the tests were making concept maps that allowed people to link ideas together. And in doing that, the idea was that students would be learning about the material in a very more rich kind of way. They would understand at a deeper level and learn at a deeper level how the subject matter of their material was related to one another. So that technique was compared with another technique that maybe we're more familiar with, which was to simply think about the content of the test and retrieve it. Okay? Basically, this is like practice testing. Anticipate what questions would be asked on the test and provide the answer and check to see how well you did. Now, which technique do you think worked best? That technique where you learn in a deeper way about the material, or the technique where the test is practiced? The title of my sermonette might have given it away, but the technique that involved practicing was certainly better. In fact, students were 50% better in their long-term retention of the subject matter. The point I'm making is a simple one. It's not about testing, but it is that if we want to get better at doing something, we have to get involved in actually doing it. Practice makes perfect. Now, with this in mind, what can we do if we want to do a better job at achieving the goal of overcoming sin? That was my question that I wanted to look into. Is it enough to study Scripture so that we understand the Bible academically, so we understand what sin is, backwards and forwards? Can we achieve the goal of overcoming sin by invoking the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior in conversations? What about increasing the size of our offerings? Will that help us to overcome sin? As virtuous as these behaviors might seem, none of them apply actual practice in addressing sinful behavior. We need to look head on at our lives, look at where we sin, and work on practicing to overcome it. It takes practice. Let's go over to Romans 7 and look at verses 15 through 19. Paul himself had a lot to say on this subject matter. Romans 7, beginning in verse 15, we read about his struggle. "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Paul expresses quite a bit of grief in the carnal weakness of his nature. As much as he tries to overcome sin in his life, we read in this open confession that he finds himself repeating his mistakes. The practice that is mentioned here applies in two different contexts. First, it applies in the context of not practicing the righteous behavior that he wills to do, but also in the context of practicing evil, that is, repeating the behavior that is contrary to his desire to overcome sin. Now, that word practice simply means to repeat behavior in a general way. And what Paul is saying here is something that I believe most Christians can relate to. As much as we try to overcome sin, we still find ourselves making mistakes. We even make the same mistakes. We even may fail in trying to put on the righteous behavior that we want to do. How in the world can we succeed is the question that we should be asking ourselves, and certainly it's the question that Paul asks himself. His concluding statement is in verse 24. He writes this, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now, Paul expresses his, final, cry, saying how frustrated he is, but he does acknowledge that through Jesus Christ, he does find the strength to overcome sin. He does find that it is possible to put into practice a way of removing sin and also working in righteousness. Fortunately, we do have Jesus Christ who offers us that ultimate solution. But it takes effort on our parts as well. We need to keep trying. We need to practice. We can't just praise the Lord and be done with it and do nothing. Let's go over to Luke 11 and read verses 24 through 26. Luke 11, and we'll read beginning in verse 24. "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first." In situations when we find ourselves successful in cleaning up our behavior, in removing sin, we're not yet done. Remember, there are two parts practice that we need to apply. Removing sin, but also replacing it with righteousness. It's not enough to practice the removal of sin in our lives if we want to overcome our sins. In the absence of sinful behavior, we need to fill that void with something better. Otherwise, we create a vacuum, and that vacuum will be filled with whatever is closest to it. That's the way I like to think about it. And being carnal in nature, as we read from Paul, it's very easy to slip into behaviors that we do not wish to do. Turn with me over to Ephesians 5, and I'd like to read verses 8 through 11 there. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We can see that there are two kinds of actions that are required: to flee from the darkness, which is where sin dwells, but also to walk in the light, replace that sin and that behavior that we will not to do with goodness, with righteousness, with truth. Our efforts, what we do, what we practice, must acknowledge both of those needs. Working on one alone is not enough. We can't remove sin without also being righteous or working on righteousness. We can't work on righteous behavior but also neglect to remove our sins. We need to do both. Turn back to John 3, and we'll read verses 19 through 21. John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Jesus Christ came into this world as our example of perfect righteousness, something to follow. He is the light. He gives us a model to practice after. And the evil, the sin, is aligned with darkness. And that should be no surprise to us. Sin likes to hide itself. It likes to hide itself from others. It likes to hide itself from ourselves, even. But it cannot hide from God. God sees it all. Are we brave enough to walk into the light, to expose our sin that we want to remove to ourselves, to others? And not necessarily, there's no need to expose that to others necessarily. That's not what I'm here to proclaim. But certainly to ourselves, we need to acknowledge the sin in our own lives if we want to begin removing it. Are we brave enough not only to walk into the light to expose what was in the dark, but also to walk in righteousness, in truth, as we read here? He who does the truth walks in the light. That is an active state of being. It is a matter of practice. Please turn to 1 John chapter 3, and I'd like to read verses 4 through 7 there. 1 John 3. I'm almost there. Beginning in verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. If we want to fulfill our work of a Christian, we need to practice righteous behavior. Our activities need to be focused on producing the fruit of the Spirit. That's an active way of behaving to fill that void once we remove sin. We'll never be finished in this endeavor. Practice is continual, habitual behavior that we never stop. To me, this is very meaningful. I really do like the word practice because it takes the pressure off of being perfect. It almost acknowledges the fact that we're not there yet, that we're working towards an ideal that we have not yet met. It also involves repeated behavior and exercise, showing us that we need continual application of effort in order to succeed. When we put our efforts into practice and remove sin and replace it with righteous behavior, then we will abide in Christ. Following the fall holy days, as we are, we tend to come home recharged, renewed in our spirit, with greater energy and zeal. And as we endeavor to keep this momentum that we have, let's remember to balance our efforts in our lives and focus clearly on removing sin, but also replacing it with the practice of righteousness.